Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Pierre-Jean Sauvignon.
Yeah.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. We've just spent a wee bit of time talking about Muscadet Sur Lee, which is where your domain is. Tried your wines and the old wine, which is brilliant. But you also produce some wines in the Côte de Lyon.
Yeah, I'm a lucky guy. I'm in the Loire. And in the Loire, you've got all these different wine. It could be white, it could be rosé, it could be red, it could be sparkling, it could be sweet, it could be off dry. It could be you've got everything in the Loire. So that's also sometimes the difficulties to understand what is the Loire. Loire is everything, and yeah, we do have some. Very nice sweet wine. We made that with the we call it noble rot, and the we use the Chenin. So when you look at the Loire Valley River, the Loire Valley area in terms of wine, if you look at the grape variety, you've got the Melon de Bourgogne for the Muscadet.
Yep.
For the center of the Loire, not the center in terms of appellation, but the center of the Loire.
Yep.
You got the Chenin.
Yeah.
And then you got the Sauvignon Blanc. That's the big three grape variety in the Loire.
Yeah, yeah.
And 99% of the liqueurs in the Loire are made with the Chenin.
Yeah.
And it's made with the Chenin for one big reason. The funny thing about the sweet wine, which is Côte du Lyon, is a sweet wine.
Yeah.
Is you want to have a lot of sugar, but you don't want to fill it.
Fill it.
To drink it. You don't want to...
Feel it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's you're always on the edge.
Yeah.
You want a lot of sugar, but you don't want to drink a marmalade wine or a Jamie wine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You want to have the balance. So you want sugar, but you don't want to have too much sugar.
So and you need acidity to balance it.
And exactly. That's why the Chenin is unbelievable for making the sweet wine, like the Côte du Lyon or Bonzo or Quart de Chaume, because you've got this... On his DNA, the Chenin has this nice acidity.
Yep.
So you balance the sugar with the acidity. And the idea is drinking a 75 gram per liter of regular sugar, but feeling like it's 25.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can say it's well done.
First of all, where is Côte de Lyon? It's
Côte de Lyon, it's roughly 20 minutes driving from Angers.
Yep.
And it's... south-west of Angers.
So, for me, when I think of the Loire, you start out in Nantes, where Muscadet is, and then you go into Angers, Touraine, and then you get into Central Vineyard. So we're just the next area along from the coast, really. So you must get some coastal influence.
You have a little bit of this coastal influence in terms of temperature. But the most important thing for this particular wine from this Anjou area, the Coteau du Lyon, it's the river. And you can tell in the appellation, you've got the name of the river.
What does cote mean in French?
Cote will mean a little hill.
Hill, yeah, yeah.
It's cote.
Yeah, yeah, like Cote de Beaune or...
Exactly. Or Cote du Roussillon or whatever. You've got a lot of wine we have got in France.
But Lyon is a river that feeds into the Loire through the Côte de Lyon.
Exactly. The Lyon, and as I told you, it's really important, and that's why Côte de Lyon has the name of the river in the appellation, in the name of the appellation, because the Côte de Lyon is a process of botrytis wine.
Yep.
Botrytis needs what for its development? It needs humidity and warm.
Yep.
So all the Lyon, where we produce Lyon, this sweet wine, we are close to the river on the hillside. So during the morning, we've got humidity from the river. So you got this humidity. And during the afternoon, this Coteau du Lyon, it's open to the east. So you have some wind who comes and dry the berry during the afternoon. Because the most difficult thing about a Coteau du Lyon, or I should say a sweet wine, it's to manage the development of the botrytis. If you've got no botrytis, you don't have any botrytis, or you don't have any noble rot.
Yep.
But if you have too much noble rot, it turns to not so noble in diplomatic terms.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that's really, really important to have this humidity during the morning thanks to the Léon and having some wind to dry the berries.
Yep.
Because you got two processes to get this sweet wine. In my region, you've got the botrytis,
yep.
So noble rot, and you've got the passerillage.
Yep.
And passerillage is you dry the berries in the vineyards.
So just on passerillage, my understanding is that it's a bit like late harvest, but after a while, the stems thin out, so no more water is supplied to the grapes, and then the water that's in there eventually just evaporates from within the grape.
The big difference between the passerillage and noble rot is in the passerillage, just an evaporation of water.
Mm.
So it's a concentration of sugar and everything you've got inside the berries.
Yeah.
So obviously you've got a lot of sugar, but you don't have the noble rot. It also changes the aromas because it's eating some molecule and turns to another molecule. So it gives you a very specific aromas to a Coteau du Lion or noble rot berries.
And what is the specific aromas?
That would be overripe quince, spicy curry character that come from the noble rot.
Some people say marmalade, but for me, I always think of noble rot more as a sort of rye bread type smell as well.
Yeah, that's the definition. And if it's and also when you have the passerillage and noble rot that I feel is when it's passerillage, you feel like it's dry nuts at the end. If you've got some dry nuts character at the end, when you tasted it, it means like it's mostly passerillage. So the other thing that you need to know, it's every single vintage have a definition. Like we are tasting right now 2011, and a 2011, it's driven by the botrytis.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at vintage like 2001, as an example, it was mostly driven by passerillage.
Yeah.
So it's always like it's more passerillage or more noble rot.
Yep.
Because you usually have both of them.
Yeah, a bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What is the process? Because I used to think they've put its roots into the grape and just sucked out the moisture, but it's not really, is it?
There's two things. When you have the botrytis, it goes through the skin. So we call it like a pycnid, so through the skin. So you make some little hole.
Yep.
So the first process is evaporation.
So the water gets out through the hole.
Yeah. And then to develop inside the berries, they also eat water. They consume water.
Oh, they do consume some water.
So they consume water and you've got evaporation of water by the hole they made in the skin. So there is a two things
for the
concentration by evaporation or less water inside the berries.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we've said that the botrytis adds flavor to the wine and it reduces the water. So if you remove water, you increase the concentration of sugars, but you also increase the concentration of the acidity as well and the flavor. So you do... It's not like if you just increase the concentration of sugar, you could land up with a wine that's maybe out of balance because it doesn't have the right level of acidity to hold up against all that sugar.
Lucky we are, thanks to the concentration. And in this kind of wine, you need a lot of acidity.
Mm.
Because a sweet wine could be very boring if it's just sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just sugar, you know. Thinking that you will have a stone of sugar and biting a stone of sugar doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel as good. You don't want that.
No.
What you want, it's having a tender, soft character with complexity of aromas, concentration, but the finish needs to be balanced.
Mm.
If you want to drink your glass and if you want to empty the bottle.
Yeah.
And the concentration of sugar, obviously you have this concentration of acidity, so you still have this acidity. And also, Chenin, it's the best or the second best grape variety because the Chenin has on his DNA this acidity.
Yeah.
And also, where we are in the Anjou area, we are on the blue schist and chalk character. And on this soil, we have this nice acidity.
Yeah, chalk tends to allow wine to maintain or at least big up the acidity in the wine, doesn't it?
Exactly. So that's the reason why in this particular region, close to the river, on this specific terroir, we made those unbelievable noble rot sweet wine.
Let's just talk a wee bit about Côte de Lion as a general region, and then we'll taste this wine, which I'm sort of edging to get into, because I do like Côte de Lion. The region itself is quite a big region by Loire standards. You know, there's a lot of small regions dotted around the Loire. Do you know roughly how many litres of wine, or kiloliters, or hectolitres, or million bottles of production?
If you want to have big figures for the Loire, it's third largest area in terms of wine production.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second after Champagne in terms of sparkling.
Yep.
But Champagne is Champagne. So that's why I say, yeah, we're the first one after Champagne. Let's say that.
Yep.
We are the very big area in terms of rosé, because rosé color wine is 25% of our production.
Yep.
And it's roughly 3 million hectoliter in terms of average production every year. And the other thing which is for me really important is we are on the UNESCO patrimoine.
Yeah, I noticed that. So the whole of Loire is UNESCO, is it?
It's finishing at the doors of the Muscadet, I think. It's where you have that's the UNESCO patrimoine. So it's to protect the architecture,
mm-hmm.
to protect the atmosphere and the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing in the region.
Let's try this wine. First thing you notice is the color. You know, earlier we tried some Muscadet, which was very pale lemon. This is still lemon. What vintage is it? 2011. Okay, so it's still quite young by the standard, but it's a lot deeper in color. It's still yellow. It hasn't really lemony color. It hasn't gone really brown yet, has it?
It's obviously more yellow than a Muscadet because you've got the oxidized process.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the Petit Fanolo turns to Quinone, so that's why you got this nice yellow golden in color.
Is it oxidation? Because I always thought that it was partly because you see a lot of dessert wines that are quite dark in color or you know, deeper in color, and I've always thought that was just pure concentration.
It's both of them, but if just look at the if you have concentration, imagine you take the berries of Melon de Bourgogne.
Mm-hmm.
Melon de Bourgogne, you do a cryo extraction. You know this cryo extraction?
No.
You pick the berries.
Yeah.
You freeze
them.
Freeze them.
Yeah.
And then you press them.
Yep, frozen. Like ice wine production.
Exactly. If it's Melon de Bourgogne, it would be pale in terms of color.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't have the botrytis and you don't have this oxidized process.
Yep.
So that's why it's not only concentration, because cryo extraction, like ice wine, it's a concentration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But botrytis give you this oxidized process and give you this yellow color.
Okay, so the oxidation is coming from the botrytis side rather than... Oh, okay, that makes sense.
That's that's why I always use the ice wine character, because if you only have the ice process, it's going to be pale like a Muscadet.
Okay.
Or a Sauvignon Blanc or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen some reasonably deep-colored ice wines, but that's why I was sort of thinking along
those lines. It's also because for some of them, they wait until you get frost.
Yeah, yeah.
But the more you wait, the more botrytis. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely an oxidized process.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But if you pick the berries by September, like in our climates,
yep,
the berries will be like a green yellow color. You freeze them,
mm-hmm.
press them, and it's going to be pale.
Okay,
that's the thing. And then you got the other oxidized process during fermentation.
Yep, during fermentation,
because when you have 200 or 250 or 350 gram per liter of residual sugar, it's a very, very, very hard environment for the yeast.
Yeah, the yeast does not...
They don't realize it's too sweet.
Yeah, they don't realize that both alcohol and sugar are poisons to yeast.
Exactly. The funny thing is the yeast will produce the molecule that they will kill them.
Yeah.
Alcohol kill the yeast.
Yeah, but if we live in our own feces and urine, then we'll die as well. So it's not...
So
that makes sense.
It's not a... Yeah, that's not a big thing to be a yeast. Anyway. So because it's really, really strong to be... For them, it's not a very normal environment. The process of fermentation would be 2 months or 3 months.
Yeah, it's very
strong. You will have the oxidized process will start.
Do you, is that because you get a lot of oxygen into the wine? Because yeast needs oxygen.
So you do need to add a little bit of oxygen
to
help them a little bit. And you got the oxidized of the wine, of the environment. So you polyphenol turns to quinone, so you got this yellow color. You will have the process of pushing the maturation. So if you push maturation, you will have by nature. But try this.
Yeah.
So you will have oxidization, so you will have this yellow color. And then if you put it into wood, you will have this yellow color from the
Côte de Lyon is normally exposed to a wee bit of oak, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it new oak or old oak or a bit of oak?
We use on the Château de Fel, we use, like pretty much everybody, you know, a third and a third. Brand new one, 1 year and 2 years. But the particular thing that we do use in the Château de Fel, we use acacia barrel.
Oh, okay, not normal oak.
You got oak and acacia, and we use both of them.
Oh, okay.
The thing is, even if the Chenin is the second best grape variety all over the world, the Chenin could have a little bit of bitterness on it. It's also on its DNA. That's why when we do a still dry Chenin, I do de-steam the berries because you could have some bitterness from the steam.
Yeah.
So I de-steam it 85%. And also, to erase this bitterness, you could oxidize the wine.
The
oxidation will erase this bitterness.
Yep.
And I don't want to add oxygen in the wine because I don't like this oxidation. So what I do oxidation with the wood.
So you just leave
the wine in the wood.
Yeah.
Because when people say you put the wine in the barrel, people usually say that it's for oxidation because they think that the oxygen goes through the barrel.
Yeah,
which
does.
Is not.
It doesn't. People tell me that it's true.
If you have oxygen that goes through the barrel, your barrel will link.
No, because oxygen, it depends on the pore size, doesn't it?
Never. The oxidation of a barrel comes from the tannin elagic.
From the what?
Tannin.
Yeah.
The elagic tannin, that's the molecule in the wood, do oxidize the wine.
Oh, really?
But the oxygen never goes through the barrel.
But that doesn't make sense because old barrels will allow a certain
Never
level
works.
Of maturation, don't they?
They don't work.
So what do you put wine
an
into?
An old barrel is like a concrete tank. It's like a stainless steel tank.
Then why do they leave wines in old barrels for long periods of time?
It's just because it costs less than a new barrel. But it looks good.
Yeah, but in places like Barolo and that they use these big old Slovakian barrels that are
it's
huge.
Because what you want to use also it's par les anges, so you've got evaporation of water.
Evaporation.
Yeah. When you put your wine into the barrel, you get evaporation of water. So that's why you have to always fill your barrel.
Yeah.
So we use it as that. And also the thing is until 3 years of age, the barrel will give to the wine a taste of oak. Or a taste of
vanilla,
whatever, if it's oak or acacia or whatever. But when it's 5, 6, 7 years of age, it doesn't taste anything.
Yeah, no, it doesn't give any flavor, but yeah, okay. I will have to check up on that. I will check
if
you
want.
Up on that.
Check if you want. No worries.
I've always thought that the oxygen came through the barrel and that's where you got sort of
micro oxygen. The only way that the oxygen goes through the barrel is on the top.
Yeah.
If you leave it open, obviously you will have oxidation from the oxygen. But if you close it, the oxygen will never go through.
I will check you up on that.
No problem.
Let's taste the wine there. So we've talked about the color on the nose. We talked about that. For me, I get a wee bit of that rye bread character in there.
I have citrus, quince.
Yep, quinciness, definitely quince.
Spicy. I have spice. Black pepper. It's in the same time, it's a little bit minty.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that. Okay, this will be slug.
Citrusy?
It's definitely rich and full-bodied. You notice the acidity is coming through at the finish, but and it is just on that cusp of high acidity, isn't it? But
is it? Yeah. 11 was a nice, fresh and clean vintage, and that's why 11, it's for me one of the best vintage in terms of sweet wine.
Mm-hmm.
And this 2011, you've got almost 70 grams per liter of real sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't feel like. You feel like it's a medium sweet.
Yeah, no. Yeah, medium sweet is probably where it feels.
Yeah, thanks to the acidity. If we had a gram less than we have, it will feel like it's a jammy, boring Côte de Lyon. So we always want to have this nice acidity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The acidity's lovely. It feels really nice in the mouth.
And you have the barrel character too. I don't know the name in English, so Clou de Girofle. Clou de Girofle, it's a really, really big aroma from the barrel.
Well, normally the aromas I would normally associate with barrels, vanilla, coconut, clove.
Clove, that's the one I try to remember.
It's not really... I made a soup once, and the recipe asked to put cloves in, one clove, and I didn't know, I put a handful in. And I tell you what, clove can be very intense.
Yes, exactly. I do not have a lot of vanilla for me. It's a little bit toasty.
I don't get the toastiness, and I certainly don't get any vanilla-iness. Yeah. I know where you're coming from with clove, but it's more in the background, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think will happen to this wine as it ages? Because at Côte de Lyon, as a dessert wine with the acidity and the sugar in there, this should age for quite a while.
You will have... My children will be drinking it for their 25th birthday.
Yeah.
And they are two.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You have a huge... If you can keep it... I can't, but if you can keep it, you will age this for 25, 30 years without any problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got the concentration and you've got the acidity. So you will have a massive, massive potential. It will turn a little bit. So far, we still have some grapefruits, this fresh lime character. So we will be losing this lime characters and you will be going to honey, more like an honey quinciness, but you will have a huge potential for that. Huge.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. I think we'll wrap it up there, Pierre. Thank you very much for your time. I know I've monopolized your time this morning.
No problem. It's always a pleasure.
It's fantastic. Cheers very much.
Thank you very much.